checked off so we know that you were here during that service. And as I explained last week, the reason we want to know the names is if something happens in a particular service, we want to be able to tell everybody, hey, there was an outbreak of COVID in that service, just so you're aware of that. Your giving record for 2020 for your IRS purposes are in a box. As you make your way out through the atrium today after the service, just go to that box. It's in alphabetical order, and you can take your record of giving with you. And as you know, if you need to use a bathroom during this time, they too are in the atrium. Our children's small group will be meeting this Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Our youth small groups, they are meeting on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We've got some other small groups, adult groups meeting, the Women's Bible Study on Tuesday at 9 a.m. here. There's a men's fellowship group that meets on Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning here. And then there's the Frogs Fellowship that meets on Thursday nights at 7. And we've got some other growth groups happening as well. Just so you know, there's ways you can plug in and get to know some others and enjoy some good fellowship together. Now, a word about our classes that a year ago were happening between our two services. Here's our plan. On February 7th, we would like to restart most of those classes. We'll probably be starting slow. It'll go from 10 to 10:50. There will be a nursery that will be provided during that class time. And so those things will be taking place. And Barb is going to restart Children's Church on that Sunday morning as well. So kids won't be with us in the service, but with her in the chapel as it was before. So just think about February 7th, those changes coming at that time. If you have any questions, just ask one of us about those classes. And also, we could use some help with some volunteers for greeters, people who are opening doors, people who are coming or going or helping with the sign-in. We've got some good people helping. We need a few more. And the way you can do that is there's a sign-up sheet in the atrium on the table, and you can just sign up for whether helping people come or go or sign them in, and just be friendly and enjoy that time together. Our call to worship is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that the Spirit of God gives us just what we need to say, just when we need to say it under a pressure-type situation, when we're being opposed because of our faith in Christ. Thank you that you are with us always in the hard times and the good times. I pray that you would be with Barb and Meyer and bring healing to this young boy in your great compassion and mercy. I pray, Lord, that we would not be distracted by other things in this service, but that we would focus on you, both in song, in the scriptures, and as we listen to what it's like to live out your faith in a hostile environment. May you inspire and encourage us in this time together to the glory of your great name. Amen.
Well, it's time to stand and have fun singing today. When I see Peter at the bottom of the page, I know it's going to be some good music from the past. Let's stand and sing number 83. There's something about that name. There is no other name by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12.
Jesus, 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 Jes
All right, our spotlight today is on pregnancy resources and the Women's Choice Center, also that's in Bettendorf. I'd like to schedule this close to the Roe versus Wade anniversary, knowing that millions and millions of babies have been murdered through abortion since the early 70s, and yet these are the positive alternatives to help people, and they're just doing a great work. So let's be praying for pregnancy resources in our immediate community, the Women's Choice Center in Bettendorf. Recently, they gave some stats of nearly 1,000 women who've had abortion. 67.5% of them needed some kind of mental health professional counseling afterwards because of the struggles that go with it emotionally. A number of them, 51%, have sought help with prescription drugs and, you know, that kind of help in recovering. And so we just want to pray for them to experience the mercy and forgiveness of Christ. The men, too, who are involved in this, it's very hard on them emotionally as well. They're often the ones that aren't remembered or thought of, but they're often the ones that are pushing their girlfriend or their wife to abort that child. And we want to pray for them because they're across the board in the recovery of what they deal with as well. They noted that about a third of the abortions that currently take place are because of the abortion pill, and that number is rising. They actually have a counter pill to help people who have taken the first pill to still save the baby, and so they've been making that available. So they're right in the trenches helping these couples as they're struggling, helping them to realize there are good alternatives. Ultrasounds can be very convincing in seeing that is an actual baby inside the womb, and they can just be very effective. So let's be praying for the Women's Choice Center, for pregnancy resources as well, to be effective in this battle that continues in our country and around the world. Please continue to pray for Barb. She's in Arkansas with the family, in Kansas City with the family. Just be praying for God to keep intervening there. Let's go to the throne of grace.
Lord God, we know that this is such an important issue in our country, in our world, and we pray for these young women especially that are trying to go through a decision for life or for what they think is a choice. Lord, help us to be praying constantly for this issue, for the babies that are going to be born, and pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of many through this ministry, which is so vital. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you that you hear us, that you listen to us. Thank you that we can ask and seek and knock. Good Father that you are, we're grateful. Grateful are times that you say no to something that you know would be harmful to us. And then you say yes for what is good for us. And sometimes you have us wait because the timing isn't right. Help us to trust you in all these things. Please continue to use the Women's Choice Center, pregnancy resources. May the provision be there financially to support them. May every client who comes through, may they be that combination of grace and truth to each one. May they be sensitive to how to deal with each one. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to work. And for those who've had abortions and now the agony that follows, we pray, Father, that again, they would experience your forgiveness and compassion and ability to go on with life. Father, I pray that you would help those who are grieving. We have some in our midst who've lost loved ones recently, and thank you that you're right there in our tender-hearted condition, in our brokenness, and we pray that you would make us whole and help us to grow and trust in you. Indeed, you're the one that has the keys of death and of Hades, and thank you that we can talk to you about these things. Father, continue to heal from the coronavirus, and we will acknowledge you for bringing that about. And may you continue to guide the new administration in Washington, new leadership. Give wisdom, cause there to be openness for the wisdom that you will give. Father, help us to really grasp what the fear of the Lord is all about, knowing that we're accountable to you and want to live and rule in light of that. Father, now fill me with your spirit, and also Andy and Jagan, and just help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. What would Jesus want a church to know that is either going through persecution or is about to go through persecution? What would he want that church to know? Or what would he want one of his followers to know if they are going through some intense opposition because of their faith in Christ, or they know it's coming, they see it's on its way? Well, the answer to that is found in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Jesus shows what he wants such a church and such of his followers who are going through that or about to go through opposition because of their faith in Christ. Here's what he would like you to know. We're going to follow the typical format of all seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3. And look at the different parts of these many letters. And through it all, this is what God wants us to know when it gets tough being faithful to Jesus Christ and there is opposition. We begin in verse 8 with dealing with the addressee. Who is being addressed? We've already commented on the angel of the church, but notice verse 8, the angel of the church in Smyrna, he's writing to. Smyrna would be the next stop that the letter carrier would be on his way with the book of Revelation, this letter that's been written. He would go from the Isle of Patmos to Ephesus first, which we looked at last week. The next stop would be the seaport of Smyrna, about 35 miles north of Ephesus. This was a large city of about 200,000 people. On their coins that they had back in those days, they said, "We are the first of Asia in beauty and size." Smyrna was known for its loyalty to Rome. In fact, from the 2nd century BC, they were so loyal, they were granted the highest status in the Roman world, where they had the right to self-government as a free city type of status. They were known for their seaport, second in exports only to Ephesus, in terms of the activity that came through their seaports, medicines, sciences. They also had a famous street of gold. And on a street of gold, on one end was a temple to Zeus, the chief of the gods in the mythology and in their worship. And then on the east side was a temple to the mother goddess Cybele. And in between, there were plenty of other temples on that street. Lots of activity in terms of idolatry and false worship. In addition to that, it was a center of emperor worship, a place that was very, very loyal to Rome. They were the place that in 195 BC, they were the first one to build a temple in Asia to the goddess Roma, being faithful to the Rome and the worship of that goddess. In 26 BC, they vied along with 10 other cities for the right to build a temple to Emperor Tiberius. They were the ones that got the privilege, what was viewed as a privilege, to be able to build that temple honoring Emperor Tiberius at that point. So you can think about a place like this. They would view Christianity as a new religion. And this is a strange new religion. And it's not supportive of worshiping Caesar as Lord. So they would be antagonistic against that kind of thing because there's a lack of worship. Now you've also got Emperor Domitian, who's trying to enforce and support the worship of him as Lord. In fact, he made it compulsory to burn incense to himself and to confess Caesar is Lord. And when you did, you would receive a certificate that you acknowledged your loyalty to him. Of course, Christians had a big time problem with that. Jesus is Lord. Caesar's not Lord. And so there would be all kinds of opposition because of this. And some cities didn't make a big deal out of it. But cities like Smyrna, where loyalty to Rome and the worship of emperor was important, they enforced it. And so there was going to be lots of persecution because of that. In fact, about 60 years after the book of Revelation was written, there was a man named Polycarp, who was one that John, the Apostle John, had mentored. And he was the bishop over the church in the city of Smyrna. Because he wouldn't acknowledge Caesar is Lord and burn incense to him, he was burned at the stake for his faith in the Lord. I read his writing earlier this week, his faithfulness. It's a very inspiring story. It was at the age of 86 that he was burned at the stake for his faithfulness. Now, in addition to that, there was a pincer that was happening here. Because on the one hand, you got pressure from Rome itself and Caesar himself and a city that wants to be totally loyal to the worship of Caesar and everything that Rome stands for. On the other hand, the other pincer is the Jewish population that's there. The temple has already been destroyed in Jerusalem in 70 AD. Many Jews were dispersed. In the 80s, those who were Christians, at first they were viewed as just a sect of Judaism. But by this time, they had been excommunicated from the Jewish synagogues. So now there would be hostile Jews who had it in for the church, any follower of Jesus Christ. So if you're living in Smyrna as a Christian, you're being pressured from both sides, from those who politically want to acknowledge that Caesar is Lord and enforcing you to burn incense to acknowledge that and receive your certificate. And on the other side, you have a hostile Jewish synagogue who are totally against you for your faith in Jesus Christ. This was a pressure cooker type of situation. And I think we can look around the world today and see similar kind of environments that, wow, to live as a Christian there, you're not just experiencing opposition from one angle. There's different angles pressuring you to not be loyal to Jesus Christ and to deny Christ could be where we're headed in terms of what it will mean in our context to be faithful to Christ. Well, the second part of the letter would be the description of Jesus with the speaker himself, and it points out two areas about Jesus which tie right in with their struggle, drawing from truths that John encountered the risen, glorified Jesus in chapter 1 with. He points out in verse 2, first of all, Jesus is the first and the last. This would be very comforting if you're in a situation of persecution and you know it's just going to get worse. To realize Jesus is the first, that means he's the sovereign creator. He's the last, that means he's going to judge and he's going to see things through until he judges. And all the time in between, he controls history. How reassuring it would be, hey, this isn't random out of control situation with our political leaders calling the shots or the Jewish community has it in for us. Jesus is the first and the last. And also he adds, again, this is drawn from chapter 1 as well in verse 18, who was dead and has come to life. Jesus has authority over death. You might die for your faith in Christ, but doesn't matter. Jesus has the authority over death, and he is the one that died himself to defeat death and sin, and so he's got control over all that. The worst thing that people can do to followers of Jesus is take our bodies, take our life. They can't touch anything else about us. And Jesus is going to overcome that anyway, even if our life is taken. As Jesus reasons in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so Jesus reminds them, hey, I have the power over death. I have come to life. How meaningful, how comforting this would be when you're right in the hotness of persecution and opposition. And it's really tempting to compromise a little bit. The praise is the next part of the letter that we see through these letters. It's introduced, I know. And Jesus says here, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And so the tribulation and poverty, of course, because of their faithfulness to Christ, it could be out persecution. It probably included economic sanctions where you would lose your job. You would lose other privileges because of your faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, the pagan world viewed Christians as atheists because they didn't have idols. They didn't worship the many gods. So they would view them as atheists, and that's what they would call us as Christians. And there would be all kinds of economic sanctions. It might be they were poor to begin with because many of the early church was made up of people who were poor and turned to Christ by faith. It might be that they had things just stolen from them, their property and every other things taken from them because of their faith in Christ. And Jesus is saying, I know about all this. I've seen every deed against you. I know about all these things, but I want you to know you are actually rich. I think what he has in mind, like in James 2:5, you're rich in faith. And you're richest with the spiritual riches of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 reasons Jesus became poor so that we through his poverty might become rich and have the riches of Jesus Christ. Remember all that Christ has given to you in his riches when it seems like you're getting a raw deal because of your faith in Christ. And Jesus says, I know about all these things. I see all these things. And he says, I also know about how you're being slandered. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they're a synagogue of Satan. Pretty strong language. Satan is a word that means adversary. And he is the one that's been the adversary of God and any of the true followers of the Lord. He's an adversary and against him. And he acknowledges in spiritual reality, this is not a true synagogue. It's a synagogue that's serving Satan. Now, they would deny that. They would think that they're serving God. But if you're a true follower of the Lord and you're a true synagogue, then you would have embraced the Messiah who has come. In Romans chapter 2, Paul reasons that way in verses 28 and 29. where he says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. So if they were truly embracing their faith, they would have received their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they're a synagogue of Satan that's serving him, and Satan works in such a way that he has people serving him, but they don't know it. And that's what's happening here. He's using that hostile Jewish community against Christians. They're not aware that they're being used in that way by the adversary, by Satan. We don't want to be puppets of the devil in that way and be used to be an adversary to those who are trying to be faithful to the Lord. The next part of the letter is a rebuke, as we saw in chapter 2, verse 4 with the church at Ephesus. But guess what? There's no rebuke. In this letter, there is no rebuke. As Jesus is seeing this church, he has no rebuke to share with them. Why? Because they're a healthy church. Persecution has kept them healthy. And so there is no rebuke to this church. Then we've got the call, which we pick up in verse 10, where it says, do not fear. Now, Jesus had said to John in chapter 1, verse 17, after he falls to his face and seeing the glorified Lord, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. And this isn't what this appearance was all about. And now he says to this church, stop being afraid. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. So he's acknowledging, you're going to suffer. That's about to happen. It's coming. And there's something that's helpful there, isn't there? When we're told ahead of time, you're about to suffer, this is going to happen, it gives you a chance to prepare yourself and brace yourself for it. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Prison in those days was not a place of punishment. It was a place where you were detained until you would go on trial, and then punishment would follow afterwards. And so he's acknowledging that the devil is going to throw some of you into prison. Notice people are going to do it, but the devil is using them. It's the devil who is going to throw you into this prison and persecute you. He's going to use people, the Roman officials, the hostile Jewish community, to do it. I think we've got to keep this in mind. When it gets tough to be faithful to Jesus Christ, realize behind the faces, behind the people who are opposing the church and opposing you, opposing me, it's the devil. He is the one that's behind it. In fact, behind the word devil is a word that means slanderer. He is the one that slanders. He is the one that falsely accuses followers of Jesus Christ, and he will use people. And I think, again, we've got to keep in mind, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's easy to get angry at those people, but we got to get beyond that and see those people are being used by the slanderer, by the devil. And there's a spiritual battle behind all of this. That in itself helps a Christian to stand firm, that realize in the spiritual realm, there is a hostile battle taking place. And I've got to be able to see that and not just see humans the way it plays out. So he says, you're going to be thrown in prison. There's going to be suffering. You will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. A number of times in Scripture, 10 days is used figuratively, not literally as literal 10 days, but it means a short time period. This is going to happen for a short time period. You're going to be persecuted. This is going to take place. Genesis 24, verse 55 is an example of 10 days, a short time period. So the persecution is probably more than 10 literal days, but the Lord is saying you can be reassured it's for a relatively short time period, 10 days. That in itself is comforting because we realize he's controlling these things. Even the persecution itself, like was the case with Job in chapter 1 and 2, he puts a leash on the devil, doesn't he, in terms of how long it will continue, how much can be taken away, and he's controlling this. And so he's telling the church up front, it's going to happen, but it's going to be for 10 days. It's going to be for a short time period by comparison with eternity, real short time period. So you endure and you stay in there as this is going to take place for 10 days. And notice you're going to be tested. Behind the Greek word for test is a word that can mean tempted, enticed to sin, or it can mean tested in a positive way. And quite honestly, what the Lord brings or allows to happen in our life, the devil wants to use that to tempt us to entice us to sin, to overwhelm us, but God is using it to reveal to us what's going on in our life, to reveal what's in our heart. He uses it to purify us. He uses it to strengthen us and help us to grow in faith together. And I think that's what he has in mind here. It's a positive opportunity for us as we're going to go through this time of persecution and opposition. Here is a positive opportunity to see this as a test from God, to show us what's really there in our hearts and to help us to grow in our faith and grow in our endurance and hang in there and trust that he indeed is trustworthy. And then he calls them to be faithful. Be faithful unto death. Keep on being faithful. Prove yourselves faithful, even if it means unto death. Again, you can think about the background of the city. They have been so faithful to Rome for over 2 centuries. Just like your city is faithful to Rome, you be faithful to your commander, to your Lord, to your God. Be faithful and keep on being faithful. Prove yourself faithful, even if that means death. Because remember, he's got the keys of death and of Hades. Death doesn't have any hold over you. Yeah, you can lose your life, but hey, you got life anyway. And he's going to give you fullness of life anyway, which you can experience the foretaste right now. So stop being afraid of these things. After this point, commonly in these letters would be a warning. There's no warning. Since there was no rebuke, there's no warning. Now, honestly, if humans were to look at this church, they would say, this is a weak, small, struggling church. We don't know what the size was, but that's what we would conclude. That's a weak church. Not very good things are happening here. But the Lord Jesus, who walks among his churches, he evaluates it differently. I'm so pleased with what's happening in the church at Smyrna. I have no rebuke. I have no warning. You're doing so well. You are so healthy. You might not feel healthy. It might not look and feel healthy based on what's happening by the way you're feeling the pincers from Roman officials and the hostile synagogue, but you're healthy, and I've got no warning for you. Wouldn't you love it to be that way for us? Jesus to evaluate us and say, I've got no rebuke, you're healthy. And the opposition and persecution, I've got no warning for you. Just keep on being faithful like you're being faithful. And finally, we have the reward in verse 11. It begins at the end of verse 10. I will give you the crown of life. I think the language implies this. I will give you the crown consisting of life. They might take your life, your physical life, but that's okay. I'm going to give you the crown consisting of true life, consisting of life. And the background for a crown here could be one of two things, and both make a lot of sense. Often crown was used by the victor in the games, in the athletic games. When you won, you received this kind of crown that you had been victorious. And Smyrna was famous for its own athletic competition. So it certainly could be that kind of crown. You're victorious. You've overcome, even if it meant death. And you have come, and I've got this crown of life for you. The other way it could be taken is the city was a beautiful city. And to the east of the city, there was a hillside. And on the hillside, there were these porticos at the top of the hillside, which were the crown of the city, the diadem of the city. And he's saying, hey, I'm going to give you a crown which is far greater than the beauty of your city and the crown on top of the city to the east. I'm going to give you a lasting crown, the crown of life, which will I have for you. And again, tying in with Smyrna, the meaning of all of this, what they were proud of as a city. So much more so the crown that Jesus gives to his followers. And he says, so the one who has an ear to hear, specifically for individuals, the individuals in the church have ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says, keeps on saying to people, to the churches, plural. Smyrna, throughout the generations, all other churches as well, the Lord is speaking to those in a similar situation where you're called to be faithful, and it's real hard to be faithful because you're feeling pressure from different angles to compromise and give in your faith. To the one who overcomes, this is not for a special class of Christians. The Lord has in mind, this is for all believers in Jesus Christ. for all believers to be in that camp of the one who overcomes, and let your faithfulness come through. I couldn't help but think, in this kind of context, what if I deny Christ? What about that? And we come back to chapter 1, verse 5, where it says of Jesus, the one who loves us and has released us from our sin by his blood. When you deny the Lord, when you're unfaithful, come back to the one who loves you. He has released you from your sins by his blood. If your faith is him, say, Lord, I denied you. I was unfaithful in that opportunity. I didn't stand for you. I compromised. But you died for that sin. Would you forgive me and cleanse me again and help me to be faithful? And then get back on the path of being faithful no matter what that means. The one who overcomes you will not be hurt by the second death. The language is strong when it implies here he or she will never, ever be hurt. Categorically, it will not happen. Now, those who are unrepentant, that will be their eternal experience, to be hurt, to be harmed by the second death that's mentioned here, which is the lake of fire, according to chapter 20, verse 14. But the lake of fire, you won't have any time there. You have no experience there. You will not be hurt. You will not be harmed. Remember, you're getting the crown of life, the crown consisting of life. No fear. Oh, death because of opposition to Christ could happen in this life. But no fear of that second death. No fear of the lake of fire. And take that with you. And so this too can be motivating us to be faithful and loyal as we await these crowns the Lord has for us one day.
From the Church of Smyrna today is actually something that's still going on in our world today. And instead of having you hear about this from me, I wanted to give you a chance to hear about this from someone where this is taking place in their country today. So Jagan, can you come on up here and join me today? Let's give him a big round of applause for coming up and joining us today. Jagan, we're so glad to have you with us. So come on and take a seat. So Jagan has been a part of the student ministries now since October, and he actually started coming to Homewood right before the coronavirus hit, which was a tough time to start. So I think your first Sunday, if I remember right, was the week before everything got canceled, and then you were back with us. So he's been serving with us, like I said, since October of 2020. And before he started serving with us, I had an opportunity to sit down with him and just hear his story, and it really impacted me when I heard about how you came to faith in Christ. So I wanted to give you all an opportunity to be able to hear that from him through asking him a series of questions. So here's the first one. The first one is, where exactly are you from? Where do you live?
Praise the Lord. I came from a village which is called Neerkundra, which is in the south part of India. So we can see the map, it is in the southmost part of India, close to Srinagar. And my state is called Tamil Nadu. Most of the states in India are based on their mother tongue. So my mother tongue is Tamil, so we are Tamil Nadu. I have to travel around 8 hours from my native to reach my capital of my state. That is Chennai, where I studied, where I worked till I come to United States.
Okay, nice. That's great. Yeah, as you can see on the map, this is where his town is located. And we're going to show where your city was here in just a second, because that's connected with your story of faith. And then we also have some pictures as well from Jagan's hometown to kind of bring that dot on the map to life. So here are a few of the pictures. So the next question was, how did you come to faith in Jesus?
So as I told, I came from a village. In my village, there are no Christians, no church, and my parents were Hindus, and all my relatives were Hindus, are Hindus till now. So when I was small, my grandfather told all the mythology from Hindu religion. So I know Ramayana, Mahabharata from my childhood. So I was so passionate towards Hinduism, and I was so desperate towards the gods of Hindu religion. So so out of my own interest, I became a priest in my village, in the temple. So each and every day, I used to go to the temple, and even I was having the keys of the temple. I used to open the temple, and inside the temple, there is a place called, there is an inner room. In that inner room, we have idols of Hindu religion. So only the priest can enter into the inner room. No one can enter. We know in the Old Testament, only the high priest can enter into the Holy of Holy place, like that. So I was like that. And generally, the Hindu religion has 3.3 billion gods, more than 3.3 billion gods. And the gods were created by stones, woods, and metals, and even they do worship the animals. So I was like that. Even in my own hand, I have created so many idols, and I have done all the pujas for the idols. So each and every day, I used to go to the temple. I used to open the temple, and I used to go into the inner place, inner room, and I used to clean the idols, and I used to put some clothes, and I used to pray each and every day, and I used to do all the pujas for the people. So I was like that. So I had very good name among my relatives and among my friends and among my villagers. And even I was having a good name in my school, because I was a school second in 10th standard, 10th grade, and school first in 11th grade. So everything was perfect and everything was going good. Even I got an award from the governor of my state in Scout. So everything was perfect. But I was not happy, and I was desperately seeking holiness in my life, because I know that I'm touching God, gods of Hindu religion, and I should be more holy. And I was a priest, so I should be more holy. So that was my desire, but my heart was not clean, and my thoughts were not correct, and I faced a lot of failures in my spiritual holy life. So each and every year I tried, and nothing worked. And one day I have decided, okay, let me go to the temple. And I went to the temple, and I was sitting in front of that idol, and I was crying, God, change me, and I should be holy. So that was my prayer. After the prayer, around 30 minutes I cried, and there was no hope, and there was no forgiveness. So I locked the temple and I came out, and after a few years, I completed my 12th grade, and I went to the capital of my state called Chennai, and I joined engineering. So in engineering, I got a friend, Christian friend. His name is Joel, and he is my classmate. He told about Jesus and Bible. So I was thinking, I have 3.3 million gods, sorry, billion gods, 3.3 billion gods, and why should I accept one more god? So that was my thought, and that was my thinking, but I did not oppose anything, because he was helping me in my studies, and I was just listening whatever he was telling. Then after a few months, I thought, why can't I try Jesus for my holiness? So I got a Bible, and I started reading the Bible, and I started going to church. And there I came to know a true living God whose name is holy. And out of 3.3 million gods, billion gods, doesn't have such a holiness. And the standard of holiness in Jesus is so high, and I as in the love which he gave is so powerful. His love is so powerful. And the author of life gave his life for my sin. So I could see, I could feel the forgiveness of God, and I could feel the hope of God, and that started the change in my life. And finally I decided, okay, let me follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus as my personal savior, and I have stopped all the idol worship.
That's incredible. It's so cool. Yeah, absolutely. It's so cool to hear how you came from a village where there was no one who was a Christian, and you could see this need for holiness that you didn't have inside of your life, and forgiveness from sin, and you're reaching towards these Hindu gods, and it was absent, and you felt hopeless. And in this genuine desire, God placed someone into your path when you were in college who could lead you to faith in Jesus Christ and give you the forgiveness that you were looking for. That is just amazing to hear how God works. And the third thing is, okay, so you converted from Hinduism to Christianity, worshiping Jesus and Jesus alone. How did your family take your conversion? Because they're all Hindus.
So it is very difficult, and it was very difficult. So in India, parents will decide most of the decisions of their own children, like marriage, like school, like college. So one day I decided that let me go and tell to my parents about my faith and my stand. And I told them, and they were very angry, and they were totally disappointed, and they did not accept me. So after that, my mother did not speak to me for 6 months. And even 2 years back, I got a call from my father, and he told that, Jagan, you may feel that you lost your father at your young age. So you may feel that you lost your father at your young age. So I was, there was so much pain in my heart. But I know there was an option placed before me. I have to choose whether it is God or family. So that was the options. And I know that the choice has been made long back when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior. So even the Bible verse says, if you love your father or mother more than me, it's not worthy of me. So the God is so faithful towards the pain in my life, and he gave me the grace to stand in him and stand for him. And one day I know that my parents will understand the true God, and I'm praying for that day.
Absolutely. Well, man, it would be great for all of us to be praying for his family, if they can come to know Jesus as their savior. And just hearing your story and how you came to faith and my story of how I came to faith, man, that was something that I know that had to have been, like you just said, was so difficult. And it's amazing to see how God gave you the grace and the strength for that. That is so amazing. God is faithful. And I know that not only you experienced hardships, but also people that you personally know have experienced hardships for coming to faith in Jesus. Could you share some of the things that others have experienced that you know?
So there are a lot of people, they were beaten by their own family members. And they were persecuted by their own family members. And especially girls, they were not allowed to read Bible. They were not allowed to pray. They were not allowed to go to church. So they were struggling. They are struggling like nothing. And I know there are a lot of people, they used to go to their bathroom to study the word of God and to pray so that no one can see. And there are Christians, they were sent out of their house because of their faith. One of my friend, she was taken into hospital to get the psychological treatment as she accepted Jesus Christ. Even my own professor, he humiliated me as I accepted Jesus Christ. So there were a lot of persecution. There are a lot of persecutions.
Wow. Yeah, and I know when we were talking as well too, you shared that in the South, there's less persecution, but towards the north there's far greater. Could you share with us some of the things that are going on with people in the north of your country, northern region of your country, for placing their faith in Jesus?
So we know one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, Thomas. So he came to India and he died in my own state, in the capital of my state called Chennai. So he became the first seed in our land, and he traveled and he came to the close one state called Kerala. Then from Kerala to he traveled to Tamil Nadu, my state, and he was killed in the city called Chennai. So in south side there are a lot of Christians, but in north side very, very less Christians. So we know Graham Steins. So he was burned alive with his two children in North India. So 2 years back, I visited north part of India. I went for a mission trip, and where I went to a village where I have seen a woman whose hand was cut because of her faith in God. And recently, I think 2 weeks back, there was a pregnant woman, and she was carrying a child in her womb. And as she accepted Jesus Christ, people they humiliated her and they bit her like anything, and the child passed away in the mother's womb. So that is recent news.
Wow. So like I said, like you were saying, man, there is so much persecution that is going on in the north. And what I really wanted to do is just give all of us an opportunity to be able to put flesh and bone to the conversation, because you can hear about the persecuted church. It can feel very abstract, like words on a page. But when we're able to sit around with Jagan and be able to hear about what happened in your personal life and also in the light of your nation, it just brings it to life in a whole new way. And if you're here today and you're wondering, man, what can I do to support the persecuted church? How can I help them? Well, there's this amazing organization that exists called the Voice of the Martyrs. And I actually just began to sponsor them just this past week. What they do is they exist specifically, it's a nonprofit Christian organization made to help Christians, brothers and sisters, who are enduring extreme persecution. So if you're interested, if your heart's moved and you're like, man, I want to help my brothers and sisters in Christ who are enduring persecution, please check out the Voice of the Martyrs website. They have so many different ways that you can offer support. One, obviously, is financially. Another is through prayer. You also can write letters to prisoners who are in prison for their faith in Jesus. And there's other ways as well, too. So I highly encourage you to check out that website. As we conclude, you know, talking about prayer, you know, James 5:16 tells us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That means that God uses prayer to make a difference in our world. So what I wanted us to do, I thought it felt very fitting for us to end in prayer, praying for the persecuted church globally and also specifically for the Christians who are being persecuted in India. And to end it, I thought it'd be a beautiful thing to have Jagan pray for the persecuted church for us globally and in India in your mother tongue. So I thought that would be a beautiful thing for us to hear and just get this expansive vision of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is for all nations. So Jagan, can you pray for us?
So Eshu means Jesus in Tamil. So let us pray. அன்பின் ஆண்டவரே, அப்பா, தர்மன விலைக்காக உம்மை ஸ்தோத்தரிக்கிறோம் தகப்பனே. அப்பா, நீங்கள் நல்லவர், நீங்கள் சர்வ வல்லமையுள்ள தேவன். அப்பா, எங்களை எப்போதும் நேசிக்கிற எங்களுடைய தேவன், எங்களுடைய கர்த்தர், அதற்காக நன்றி ஆண்டவரே. லோட இந்த நேரத்திலையும் கூட அப்பா, இந்த தேசத்திற்காக உம்முடைய சமூகத்தில் வருகிறோம் ஆண்டவரே. அப்பா, அந்த தேசத்தை உமது கரத்தில் கொடுக்குற ஆண்டவரே, அப்பா, நீங்கள் தொடுவீராக தகப்பனே, நீங்கள் தகப்பனே அங்கே உள்ள ஒவ்வொருத்தங்களையும் ரட்சிக்கும்படியாக நாங்கள் ஜெபிக்கிறோம் தகப்பனே. அப்பா, பர்சிக்யூட் பண்ணுற ஒவ்வொருத்தங்களையும் நீங்கள் தாமே ரட்சிக்கும்படியாக நாங்கள் ஜெபிக்கிறோம் ஆண்டவரே. லார்ட், அப்பா, அங்கே உள்ள ஒவ்வொரு சபைகளையும் ஒவ்வொரு ஊழியக்காரர்களையும் அந்த கரத்தில் கொடுக்குறோம் தகப்பனே. அப்போ உங்களுடைய கரம் அவர்களோடு இருக்கும்படியாக நாங்கள் ஜெபிக்கிறோம் தகப்பனே. அப்போ நீங்கள் அவர்களை தேற்றுவீராக தகப்பனே, அவர்களோடு இருப்பீராக, நீர் காரியங்களை செய்வீராக தகப்பனே. லார்ட், இந்த உலகத்தில் உள்ள ஒவ்வொரு சபைகளையும் கரத்தில் கொடுக்கிற தகப்பனே, அப்பா ஒவ்வொரு சபைகளுக்கும் தகப்பனே நீங்க பலன் தரும்படியாக நாங்கள் ஜெபிக்கிறோம். உங்களுடைய திவ்ய நாமத்தில் ஜெபிக்கிறோம் ஆண்டவரே, உங்களுடைய திவ்ய நாமத்தில் ஜெபிக்கிறோம் ஆண்டவரே. தேங்க் யூ லார்ட் ஃபார் காட், நன்றி ஆண்டவரே, நன்றி தகப்பனே, தேங்க் யூ லார்ட் ஜீசஸ், ஜீசஸ் நேம் வி ப்ரே,
ஆமென்.
Seen a terrible storm. This song has great meaning. You have been a refuge for the needy in their distresses, a shelter from the storm. Isaiah 25:4. Let's stand and sing.
Sure. as we look to him. And if you're here this morning, like I said, and you're wondering, how can I support my persecuted brothers and sisters? I want to just give you a little sample of something you can pick up from the Voice of the Martyrs. This is actually a prayer calendar where each day, this is the month of January, it has a different nation and a quick prayer that you can pray for the persecuted inside of that nation. So this is something I've actually been doing this year, just praying through one country one day at a time. And I actually just finished listening to this audiobook that I got from the library talking about those who have endured persecution. It was just so inspiring to hear how our brothers and sisters in Christ are standing firm in their faith. So I just wanted to make you aware of things like this in case this is a burden that God is placing on your heart. So let's wrap up and pray, asking God to give us now the strength to be faithful to him as we live throughout our lives, and also praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters one more time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't have to live life in our own power and strength, that you have given us your Spirit to live inside of us, to empower us. And God, help us to look to the Spirit to empower us and to give us the strength to remain faithful to you. Help us to live courageous lives before you that are lives worthy of the gospel. And God, we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, in our country and in around the world, who are facing hardships. Please give them extra strength and extra grace by the power of your Spirit. Help them to remain faithful. Help them to be encouraged that we're standing with them. To your name we pray. Amen.